My guest at this time is Mark Krikorian. He is the Executive Director at the Center for Immigration Studies. We want to get his thoughts on the things he believes the Trump administration has done well and the things it could be doing better when it comes to immigration policy. A lot of different policies and ideas are getting evaluated as we approach the 100-day mark of the administration. But one that Trump spent a lot of time making big promises on during the campaign, of course, was immigration. And Mark, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, glad to be here.
The biggest news as of right now in terms of immediate policy is that Trump appears like he's not going to insist on border wall funding in this stopgap measure. He apparently wants to wait and take it up when the appropriations process begins for fiscal year 2018 rather than fight it out now with Chuck Schumer, who says that that would be grounds for shutting down the government. So some people think this is smart to wait for a bigger battle on this front. Others think it's a bad precedent. What do you think?
Yeah, my sense is they're going to have this fight sometime, and that putting it off doesn't change anything. Chuck Schumer is going to threaten to shut the government down in September if there's any border wall funding. And I'm not sure how the White House's hand is going to be any stronger then than it is now. Now, you know, maybe I'm misreading this. I don't know. But it strikes me as a preemptive surrender, and it's going to embolden both the Democrats and those Republicans like Lindsey Graham and John McCain, who are anti-immigration enforcement as well. So I think it's a mistake. I hope I'm proven wrong and it turns out okay in the fall, but I'm not hopeful that that's the way it's going to turn out.
Mark, you and I have talked about this issue before. I know you believe the border wall is important, but not necessarily the most important thing when it comes to border security. So in addition to the fact that this was obviously a critical campaign promise, what does this wall mean for actual security?
Well, like you suggest, it is extremely important politically for the president. And, you know, and getting a win on one issue strengthens you in other areas. So even though, like you said, I don't think additional walls or fencing are my top priority, although we clearly need them in some places, it does need to be the top priority for the president politically in order to get other things done. I actually am really kind of disturbed by this because it suggests a weakening of the White House's commitment despite whatever tweets may come out, and potentially a strengthening of the position of the Chuck Schumer Democrats, who are increasingly dominant within the White House, guys like the president's own son-in-law, who really is basically a Chuck Schumer Democrat. I mean, he's not even a in a sense, we're going to wish we had rhinos, Republicans in name only, in office, because now we've got people in the White House who aren't even rhinos. I'm discouraged by that, clearly. But there are a lot of other positive things happening. I mean, the personnel that he's appointing in a lot of the immigration positions within DHS, not at the top of Homeland Security, but the people who actually matter where the rubber heats the road, meets the road, really are outstanding. They've signaled that they're going to be moving ahead with a reform of some of these guest worker visas that have been used to replace American workers. Attorney General Jeff Sessions had a tour of the border not that long ago and laid out some of the things that he's going to do with regard to immigration that are within his area of responsibility, all of which are good. So it's a mixed picture, but there's some clear problems that I think are disappointing and concerning.
Well, let's talk about both. You mentioned, and Chuck Schumer has mentioned, that some Republicans aren't all that excited to go along with funding the border wall. You mentioned McCain and Lindsey Graham. From what you can tell, is he basically referring to those two, maybe the other two, Rubio and Flake, that were part of the original Gang of Eight? Or is this something that's deeper on the Republican side?
Well, I mean, I think it's probably them. But also, frankly, Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, is a high immigration supporting libertarian. He's not opposed to the wall in the with the same intensity that, say, Nancy Pelosi is, who said the wall is immoral somehow, which I don't know how that's possible. But so it's not like it's that bad, but he doesn't have any enthusiasm for it. And if the White House is signaling that they're going squishy on this issue, he'd be, you know, Paul Ryan is more than happy to take them up on that. One other thing I didn't mention, the surrendering on the wall is the one problem that we've seen. The other big problem is that this administration has kept Obama's illegal amnesty called DACA, D-A-C-A. It's for illegal immigrants who came before they turned 16. He's kept that going. He hasn't done anything to change it. He hasn't even stopped issuing new work permits to illegal immigrants who didn't have them before. And that's very disturbing. I mean, I can see the point of wanting to trade a proper amnesty for these people that Obama basically already amnestied in exchange for something that he needs from Congress. So I get it as a bargaining chip. But there's no excuse for expanding the program to more people who were not part of it. And they haven't, it's just continuing on the way it did under Obama. And that those two things, surrendering on the wall and this DACA amnesty, are, I think, the two black marks on this administration's record in the first 100 days, to weigh against a lot of positive things as well.
DACA, referring to the so-called dreamers, as President Obama right. would refer to them. So let's talk about the positives. You mentioned some of them clearly with personnel and with Jeff Sessions going to the border and, among other things, talking about how a second illegal entry would mean a felony charge if he were to get his wish. That's certainly what he's recommending. Some of the other things that this administration has focused on is threatening federal dollars for sanctuary cities, also going after the brutal gang MS-13, which is very active around Washington and in other urban areas. What's the significance of that, and how much progress do you think can actually be made on those fronts?
The sanctuary cities issue is an important one, both symbolically and practically. And, you know, we're going to see the first stage in that is what we've seen, where they're going to withhold money from certain Justice Department programs that go to sanctuary cities. They're not going to give them the money until if they don't change their ways. That's the first step, but only the first step, because the big sanctuary cities like San Francisco, New York, what have you, they've already said they'll forego the money in order to keep protecting illegal immigrants. So we're going to see over the next 6 months or a year that fight unfold and continue, because I think ultimately they're going to have to sue these jurisdictions in federal court to get an injunction to get them to stop. And the administration does have the nuclear option, which nobody's really talked about yet, but is still there, which is criminal prosecution of the city council, for instance, in San Francisco, for knowingly harboring illegal aliens. They are committing a felony through their sanctuary policies. It makes sense to try to get that changed without having to prosecute them, because you never know if you could even get a conviction. But that is kind of the last straw. I think there's a lot of things between here and there that they're going to try, and I'm pretty confident that the Attorney General is going to pursue that pretty energetically.
Mark, last question. Are you surprised at all by where the Democrats seem to be drawing the line, and not just Democrats, but other opponents of where Trump stands on immigration, particularly when it comes to sanctuary cities? Because it's one thing to have very favorable stories of these valedictorians that were brought to the country illegally when they were kids through no fault of their own, et cetera, et cetera. But when they're essentially defending criminals who are in the country illegally, this has got to be on the turf the president would love to have this debate on right now.
Yeah, I hope so, because it's not a very defensible position. And I think I'm hoping the administration has a somewhat longer-term plan on this, on making the case that the sanctuary city thing is politically indefensible. And what I mean by that, or part of that plan, is this thing that they had started, and they're going to restart in shortly, as I understand it, which is reporting weekly all of the criminal aliens that sanctuary cities let go. In other words, every week, say, okay, these people were asked for by ICE because they knew they were illegal aliens. Sanctuary cities let them go. And then, by the way, the one they released 3 weeks ago committed X and Y crimes. That's an important part of building the case to weaken the Democrats' support for sanctuary cities. If they play their cards right, that can be probably more powerful even than filing lawsuits against them, because ultimately it will undermine the political support in these hard left-wing cities among voters to keep the sanctuary city policy going.
Wow. Mark, obviously a very active 100 days on this front, and I'm sure the coming weeks will be much the same. Thank you very much for your time, as always.
Thank you.
Mark Krikorian is Executive Director at the Center for Immigration Studies. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.